First, I would like to acknowledge my collaborators in this study, Heywood Gabor Christos as a PhD candidate in epidemiology at Johns Hopkins, who is currently working for NASA. And for those of you who don't know who Susan P. Baker is, she is a young lady, young professor at Johns Hopkins who works constantly as if she's finishing her PhD thesis. Seriously, just last Saturday at midnight, I came home from a conference, a long day, and I checked my email. There was one from her saying one of her papers got accepted. I replied in one word, congratulations. Then in a few seconds, I got an email from her saying a three-word reply, go to sleep. I was tired. I did go to sleep, but I was thinking let her work on her next paper. Our work in this field has been funded continuously through two R1 grants from the National Institutes of Health. As you know, that's very important for our survival. Just some background. You may think that aviation accidents or aviation crashes are very rare and mostly fatal. But in fact, in the United States, there are about 2,000 aviation crashes each year, and most of the crashes are not fatal. And there are quite a few well-established risk factors for fatality given crash in aviation accidents, and list a few, and the study, and those work, studies were relatively recent, started in the early 1990s. Now it has been spread to different nations by different groups, but the fundings have been very consistent. I linked the fire, adverse weather condition, and especially on the location of the crash, if it's occurred away from an airport, is much more likely to be fatal than on those crashes occurring on airport. And also nighttime versus daytime, and the different types of aircraft, and whether or not the occupant was wearing some safety restraints, such as shoulder harness or seat belts, and then those usual suspects like old age and less flight experience. So the purpose of this work is very simple. It's to assess the validity of a very simple risk index that hopefully could be used for predicting a fatality in any given aviation crash. Why such a risk index is needed? Usually I don't think about these issues. But I list a few here. Hopefully the tool could be used as a method or a way for aviation safety research, and also could be instructive and informative for risk management, which is a major issue in aviation safety. And hopefully the tool could be used for informing safety practice and policy. So risk index we're talking about is called FIA score. FIA stands for fire, instrument, meteorological conditions, and away from airport. I.e., those three top or major risk factors for fatality identified through the studies over the past 15 years. And as the score is a four-point system from ranging from 0 to 3. Basically, it's the count of the three risk factors in any given crash. This is an example of a crash occurred a year ago. Part 121, that's a major airline flight crashed in Kentucky in the early morning outside of the airport. There was nose crashed fine under the weather condition was good, as for visual weather condition. There were 49 fatalities out of 50 occupants. And the failure score for this one would be 2, because we had fire under away from the airport, but there was no instrument weather condition. This is another crash some of you may, if you're old enough, this is quite famous, involved some famous person. And this one, actually, the failure score is only one risk factor in the three was present, which is away from the airport. I often joke that we are the best research team in the aviation epidemiology field, not because we have done any extraordinary work, but because we are the only one working on this issue. So by the same talking, we may say we are the worst researchers in this field. We work with the National Institute, National Transportation Safety Board, and FAA, and other aviation-related agencies and organizations. For this study, the data are from the NTSB. We are very fortunate to work in this field, to have access to the very, very high-quality data. NTSB has been investigating. They are just an investigative agency. Their major responsibility, mandated by the U.S. Congress, is to investigate major transportation accidents. Under every single aviation accident that occurs in the United States is investigated by NTSB through a series of well-established uniform data tools and reported. And made accessible to the public. We looked at the data from NTSB for the past 23 years, 1983 to 2005, and there are some crucial criteria here. At the end, we had over 44,000 crashes for analysis, available for analysis in this study. This is what we did for this study. First, we verified the risk factors using the data, and then we calculated a failure score for each of the over 44,000 crashes, and then we did some sensitivity specificity analysis. Here, I'm going to present mostly the area on the receiver operating characteristic curve. It's called the ROC curve. This is also called the C statistic. It's a combined measurement of the tool's discriminative capacity based on both sensitivity and specificity. And we analyzed the data first on the pilot fatality, because each crash may involve one occupant, which as the pilot to several hundreds occupants, say in a jumbo jet accident. We have to sort of standardize that issue. So look at the pilot in command as the simplest way. And also we look at analyze the data by the types of flight. Here are some results in terms of the crash fatality rate for the pilots. Crash fatality rate is a type of case fatality rate. Case fatality rate is very deceptive name, funny thing in epidemiology. It's called rate, but it's not a real rate. I'm not going to go to the detail about that. What I'm saying is crash fatality rate in this science is case fatality rate, i.e. the proportion of pilots who were killed among those who were involved in the crashes by different types of flights. Part 121 refers to the major airlines. Part 135 refers to commuters and air taxis. Part 91 refers to the general aviation, which includes all the private small aircrafts. And the fatality rate, as you say, is only 5% in Part 121 crashes and about 20% in the other two categories. And if you look at pilot crash fatality rate by failure score, you see a very nice dose response type relationship. If the failure score is zero, overall only 3% of the pilots were killed. And if the failure score is three, that is almost 90%. The fatality rate is almost 90%. And then we calculate the say statistics, and this is the same graph by type of flights, and you see the same, very similar patterns. And the say statistics indicates that the area under the rock curve is over 0.80. And this one, this is for all the crashes combined, is 0.81. Again, if you look at the rock curve by different type of flies, it's very similar, and actually the safe statistics also is comparable across the three types of flies. We also look at any fatality as an outcome measure. The results are almost identical as the pilot fatality. There are always some limitations, and list a few here. We didn't include all the risk factors in the failure score, and also risk factors have been changing over time. Especially in the aviation field. And I think we do need to maybe validate the tool, the failure score, using prospective data or data from other nations. But we are pretty confident in making this simple conclusion that the tool we developed seems to be quite valid. It's a simple. The information for the failure score is almost instantly available. For measuring aviation crash fatality risk across three types of flight operations. They are not the same. We treated them as the same, but they are not the same. Specifically, fire is a much stronger predictor than the other two. So we also try to take that into account by using a scanning method, say a sign of fire, to 2 points to fire instead of one. And then we do the same analysis to see whether the performance of the tool would improve. It did improve, but to a very small degree. And we decided that for the simplicity, it's better maybe just treat them the same and use a simple form. But that's a good question. It's simple. It's almost deceptively simple, but it comes to this simple tool. Really, it really comes a long way. I think it's over almost 20 years of research. And at first, we thought to use the FAMA score. the N would stand for nighttime, because we, in those individual studies, we did find those crashes occur at night, are much more likely to be fatal. Then we just try to simplify the model and do some repeated analysis. We realized actually nighttime does not add much additional value to the system. So we decided to eliminate it, make it a simpler system. So in the back. It was listed in my background slide. In the field school, no, because it's the total flight time or flight experience of the pilot has more to do with the risk of crash involvement rather than the risk of fatality given crash. I don't know if I expressed myself clearly, but that's a different issue. So if we want to develop a tool for measuring the crash risk, the flight experience definitely should be taken into account.
Good. How about open water versus land?
That's another good question. It would be helpful, the ditching versus crash landing has been a research question for years, and people actually look at the consequences of ditching over the water or crash landing on the ground. It depends. The result, the answer is much more complicated. It's not conclusive. I guess it really depends on circumstances. The short answer to that question is no, I didn't look at it in this one. And another question answer would be that crashes over waters are quite few, accounting for only a very small percentage of the study sample. So if you look at that, it won't really make much difference. So maybe you read some of our studies. Yeah, we are also the group who does the research on drinking mandatory alcohol testing in the pilot population. We did a lot of work in that. If you like, I can just give my website to you, and you can read all the articles we published over the years, and some of them are related to alcohol use. That's a very good question. Definitely, there is a federal NTSB and FAA both are federal agencies. FAA is part of the DOT, but NTSB is an independent agency, independent of DOT. And yes, the definition is uniform at across federal agencies in the aviation field. As an accident or a crash is defined as any event that results in a death to a person or a serious injury that requires hospitalization for more than for at least 24 hours or a major bone fracture or requires major repairment to the aircraft. By major repairment, they mean $5,000 or more in cost.
Why did you take more energy without being into account
Exactly. It's not available, and I think the field school could be used as a proxy for the data read, or crash books. Thank you very much.